Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're getting towards the last of the Kings, almost. The beginning of 15. Okay, chapter 15, Kings 2. Bishnat Esrim Vesheva Shanali Yeravam Melok Yisrael. In the 27th year of the Yeravam, the king of Israel. And we talked about that at the time, they didn't see Yeravam as a bad guy. And it was so much so that they even named other people after him. Another king was named Yeravam, which from our perspective, that's like naming somebody Hitler or naming somebody like a terrible person. But at that point, they didn't realize that the leadership of the 10 tribes, which they thought led to greater security and a widening of the Jewish people, and would actually lead to the destruction of the 10 tribes. But people wouldn't see that until later, that they led them away from Hashem. So the new king, though, on the side of Yehuda, Malach Yisrael, Azariah ben Amatya, this is Azariahu, comes from the word Ozer, means to help, and the help of God, Azariahu. There are many combinations of that. We have the name Ezra, but this is Azariahu, God will help. Ben Shesh Esrei Shana, he started the kingdom when he was 16, V'chamishim u'shtayim shana Malach Yishalayim, and he was king 52 years, which is quite a lot for those times. V'shem Imo Yechal Yahu Yishalayim, and his mother's name is Yechal Yahu. And the Yasa Yashar Veine Hashem, and the vast majority of the kings of the house of David had this. It says that they did what was right, what was upright. And we talked about that. The book of Jewish ethics is called Mesilas Yesharim, the path of the upright.
Here it is.
Oh, okay, very good. That's right. There's more to the just doing whatever a king is supposed to do, but it's doing the right thing, being straight, being honest, being good. And all of that's included in Yashar. Like if you say about a person that he's Yashar, that's a big compliment. That means that they're straight, they're honest, they're good, they're Yashar. It's very straightforward. Sometimes in our eyes they look straightforward, but it's not the truth. That's just politics. But over here it says Yasa Yashar Beinei Hashem. He did what was good in the eyes of Hashem. Now here it says an interesting thing, just like his dad, Kikol Asher Asa Amatya Aviv. He did pretty much. He didn't expand the horizons. He was a repeat of his father's reign somewhat. It's hard to expect more. Every now and then we find a king that isn't just happy to take what he's got, but he wants to invent new paths and wants to go where no one else has gone before. And we will see that there were kings like that, in good and in bad, there were kings like that. So this king, though, he was more or less, you know, he carried on his father's reign. And Raka Bamos Lo Sar, now even though he did good, he never got rid of those bamos, those nasty backyard barbecue altars that people had. Sometimes the people use them for idol worship, and sometimes they just use them out of laziness, not to go up to the main, you know, the main synagogue where everybody else is, and it'll be a lot of work, but I'll just have the offering over here in my backyard, I'll be fine. The nature of them was, in the end, that's what turned the people away from Hashem. The people were still doing that. Verse 5, it's very interesting because in the book of Kings you don't get much background to what happened. It's just a review of the different kings. It says that he did something wrong, and the king got leprosy. Now, the truth is, it's hard for us to imagine that he was a good king, but Hashem decided to smite him with leprosy. Leprosy was pretty severe in those days. It was incurable, and the people had to live separate, and he was, if you remember, we had the disciple of Elisha was smitten with the leprosy. So it was pretty severe. On the other hand, Hashem sometimes, when a person is righteous and does something wrong, so Hashem smites them with leprosy or with whatever in order that they suffer in this world, so that when it comes time for them to go, they fully atone for any mistakes they would have made. So there's different people. Sometimes it seems like really good people have difficult things happen to them. And part of that reason is because Hashem wants them to go straight to heaven and not have, every person has some mistakes that they're not proud of. But if they've suffered in this life, it's a trade-off. The suffering, if it's held in the right way, it can atone for a person's sins. And so I would probably look at it in the light that they're putting him, even though he had to be stricken with leprosy, that atoned for his sin. So what was his sin? It doesn't really say over here. And during that time that he was a leper, his son Yotham took over. Yotham ben HaMelech alabayit shafet es amorot. He judged the people in that time. But we have another book in the book of Chronicles where it goes into detail what happened. We could find that if you have the larger enough. Yeah, this is in 1990 in the Stone Tanakh. Now, it would be chapter 26. Let's go. We're going to go to verse 16. What's interesting is in the book of Chronicles, it also starts out in the beginning of chapter 26 with a description. He has another name over there. He's called Uzziyahu instead of Azariyahu, but it's the same king, Uzziyahu and Azariyahu, which was relatively common in Tanakh, where they would have a variance on the name. And over here, it says also that he did just like his father. And it mentions that he was a great builder. It mentions that he did wars against the Plishtim, and he built towers. And it mentions that he was into, he had a lot of livestock, and he did agriculture. And he was a very big, as far as expanding the wealth of the people, he did a lot of that. And he had a great army. One of the things we're going to learn is that he became arrogant. So most of the time when people become arrogant, they have to have something to become arrogant about. It's really bothersome when somebody... It's one thing if a person's arrogant and at least they have something to be arrogant about, but when somebody has nothing to brag about and they're arrogant anyways, that's like really bad. But a lot of times the people that are arrogant, there really was something for them to be arrogant about. We Hashem can't stand people that are arrogant, but at least we understand where they're coming from. He was a very great king, and he was very successful, and it went to his head. And he decided that if he was such a righteous person and so great, this is it in verse 16. It says, actually, let's go to verse 15, where it mentions his army. It says, "V'yetze shmo," he became famous, "ad l'merochok," until far off. People started hearing about this great king, that he was amazing. He was, they increased the food supply, and they increased the army, and they were successful in war, and they were successful against the Philistines, and it was like unbelievable. This king was really great stuff. And then we have in verse 16, though, ubechaskasa gova libo, and in his greatness, his heart became arrogant, ad lahashkis, and it brought him down. What happened? Vimo b'Hashem elokov, and he rejected his God. And it says like his God. It was very personal. Like here, he had a closer relationship with Hashem. What did he do? He decided if he was so great, it bothered him that the Kohanim should be allowed to go in to the temple, and he would have to stay out. The there is some parallel. Like there are certain women that are very righteous and very good, and that leads them to want to run the services in the synagogue, and it's because they have, I'm judging them favorably, many of them have good motives, that they want to get close to Hashem, and they want to go in there, and they want to, sometimes people have to know that there are certain boundaries, there are certain things that you could do, there's certain things you can't do, and there's nothing, a person just has to know in what ways can they get close to Hashem, in what ways they're expected. And over here, he was so great in other ways that he just figured, well, I don't need the rabbi to do this for me. I don't need the Kohen. I'll go in and do it myself. I'm the greatest. And so that's what he did. He went into the Beis HaMikdash to offer incense. Vayavo Achrav Ezra. Now the Kohen, it's interesting, the Kohen's name over here is given as Azariyahu, went after him, and the other Kohanim, there were about 80 of them, they said, "Where are you going? Hold a king, like, listen here, this is Kohen territory. It's only for the sons of Aaron." So he was kind of warned that, we have, with all due respect, this is where the Kohanim go. This is not for you. And he got furious. And he was ready to ignore the Kohanim and go in. And on the spot, he broke out into leprosy on his forehead. And once that happened, he had to leave, and he weren't allowed to be leprous in the temple. And he was put into a leper colony outside the city, and his son took over the reign. But the one thing that we would say in a good way is that overall he was a good king. He had this terrible blot on his record, and his suffering atoned for that. But the idea that sometimes when a person has it all, that it goes to their head, that's a problem. It's a very unique thing when somebody knows how to use the wealth, knows how to use it right, knows how to, if they're blessed, they're very thankful with the blessing. They don't let it spoil them. Mm-hmm. So often you read about these people that win the lottery, and it doesn't improve their lifestyle. It ruins them, you know. And it's such a shame. It's nice to learn with somebody, you know, Hashem gives them wealth, and they do good things with it, and they have a wonderful, they're happy, and everything is wonderful. And it just doesn't always work that way. Sometimes people don't know how to handle blessing or things going their way. And to some extent, that was a shame over here. He wanted to get close to Hashem. He didn't. He wanted to replace the Kohanim. I'm going to do the service, and he went in, and that was the end of him. But you definitely have a little more information over here that this book was written more. Probably didn't want to go into the king's sin over here. You know, yeah, he got a plague. It doesn't tell us the whole story.
Rabbi, the leprosy referred to here is SARS or leprosy?
That's a good question. It sounds like a spiritual leprosy, but it's not. It's hard to know if they distinguish between the two.
This is the same king that Isaiah wrote during that time, isn't it?
Yeah, Isaiah was active during this king. That's right. So yes, sir, Divrei Ezra. But as far as we're concerned, we're going to go into the next chapter. All the rest of the words of Ezra, v'kol ha'sha'asa, and all that he did, Elohim k'tuvim ma'sefer Divrei Yom, and the Malki, they're all written in that book. Verse 7, and he was buried there. And Yosem, his son, takes over. Now, by the way, you see from the way it describes the son as being a judge, that this was an earlier thing that we were aware of. The first leaders were called judges. And so when the kings took over, they did additional things, but they also were judges. The primary responsibility of a king is that they live in a just society, that people, if they're wronged, that they can get justice. They have someone to go to. And so, that therefore, when it described Yosem as being in charge, what did it say he did? It says that he brought justice. He judged the people of the land, that the society existed. When we hear corruption, then we know, it's scary, because a society that is too corrupt, it morally loses its backbone. There needs to be a law and order, a sense of good and right, a sense of not to do these kinds of things. So either way, we learn about he died, and Bishnah Shloshim Ushmona Shana Lezayahu Melech Yehuda. Now we go back, though, to the 10 tribes. Malach Zechariahu, and we read about a king called Zechariahu ben Yeravam al Yisrael b'Shomer, and he was king for 6 months. V'yasa Rabbein Hashem, and he was an evil king. So just like in the tribe of Yehuda, they imitated their forefathers and they were good. Over here in the tribe of the 10 tribes, they imitated the previous kings and they were bad. Kasher Osavosa and Lo Sar Mechatas Yeravam ben Nevat, and they all continued in the path of Yeravam and Nevat, Asher Hikteis Yisrael. They caused the Jewish people to sin. In the 10 tribes, Hashem had a lot less patience with them. So, sure enough, this was an evil king. V'yikshar lov Shulam ben Yavish, and there was a plot against him. V'yakehu, and they assassinated him. Kabel Am v'yemiseu mimak taktos, and he made himself king underneath. The last few kings in the 10 tribes, some people don't even consider them kings. They were really just assassins. They were not like a dynasty. They just assassins. 11 of the Yesedivir Zechariah, Yim Ksuv, Mal Sefer Jeroyam, and you can read more about him over there. Hudvar Hashem Ashadibir Al Yehu Lamor, and Hashem kept his promise that he had made to Yehu. Yehu was the one who had destroyed the dynasty of Ahab and Jezebel, of Ahab and Jezebel, who had sinned very greatly, and had also Jezebel had brought the worship of the Baal into the Jewish people. And Yehu, here Hashem really brought a leader that tried to get rid of idol worship in the 10 tribes. And so Hashem rewarded him that his descendants would lead the Jewish people for 4 generations. But unfortunately, it didn't really stop and uproot the idol worship. I'll make you kings for 4 years, be king. But Hashem kept his part of the deal, and you had 4 generations of the Yehu dynasty. Next. Shalom ben Yavish Mogvish Nashloshim, and you have the new king. Again, he doesn't really give him much of a title. He was a king in the 39th year of Uziyahu Melech Yehuda, V'imloch Yerech Yamim, and he was king for a month. That's it, he's gone. V'yal Menachem ben Gadi, Menachem the son of Yehuda, comes from Tirzah V'yavish, Shalom V'yachah Shalom ben Yavish. And no more Shalom ben Yavish, and Shalom V'yisei V'imloch Tach. Okay, that's all we say about him. Some people point out, it doesn't say he did evil in Hashem's eyes. Maybe he wasn't so bad. Other people say it was just he didn't have time to do it.
He wasn't going there. He didn't even make it.
He was just, you know, he was just an assassin. He was just filling up the seat. He didn't really have. Other people say that no, maybe there was some promise there with this this king, but the people weren't willing to accept it, and so there's a nice name. His name was Shalom. You know, that's one of the. Should we say Shalom to Shalom? That's it. He's gone. Yesterday, Shalom, Viksha, Shakosha, Yinim Ksu. If you want to read more about him, you can look in those books. Now we on to a new king over here in the 10 tribes, and his name is Menachem. Menachem ben Gadi. That's his name. And what did Menachem do? Oz Yaakov Menachem es Tifsach. He conquered an area called Tifsach. Most people assume this was a non-Jewish area that had been conquered by the Gentiles. Veskol Asher Bo. Then he enlarged Eretz Yisrael. Metirsa Kilo Pasach. That this area had not been. They didn't. I guess when the army wanted to travel through, they didn't open it up. They didn't. So Yaakov called Sehabika. He went and he destroyed all of that area. Now the word Heroseha can be interpreted different ways. The word Heroseha, Rashi translates it as all the pregnant women. He aborted all the fetuses of all the pregnant women in that city. It could be understood totally different, though. The Heroseha could mean that he opened up all the word for pregnancy means like a bulge or somebody who's extended, or it could be he ripped down the city, he ripped down the walls and the towers and the but our rabbis understood that he did something much more cruel, that he destroyed the pregnancy. It's really interesting, not interesting, but we had this before also, that where the king marched the Edomites off the cliff, you know, that they're like acting very cruel, you know, like one of the things about the Jewish people is that they were known as a nation of kind people and sensitive and caring, and once the Jewish people started acting like Gentiles, so then it's not difficult to understand why they were carried away, because they were no different than the Gentiles. Like, even when we fight wars differently. That's always been the mainstay of the Jewish people, that is, that we are different. Our sensitivities are different. Our way of handling things are different. And when we become brutal like the Gentiles, that's just not the... It goes back to the prophecy of Yitzchak, too. He said, Yedayim Yedei Esav. Esav, he's going to be the tough one. The Jacob, Kol Yaakov, he works with his voice. That's where his greatness lies, is with reason, with education, with discussion. Esav, he's the one that settles everything with his hands and a physical and lives by the sword. But these kings, this is pretty brutal over here to say that. Okay, moving along. He was king on Yisrael. Esther Shanim, he got 10 years. 18 V'yasara b'nei Hashem, and he was evil in the eyes of God. Lo sor me'alchat asur. He didn't even think about discontinuing some of the bad stuff. Hashem hiktis Yisrael kol yom. Of all of his days, he was pretty bad. So now we find that really the beginning of the end starts during this kingdom of the ten, the beginning of part of the Jewish people being carried off, part of the tribes being conquered. But Pul comes along, Pul, Melech Asher al Oretz, and Pul, that's the name of the king of Asher, comes on the land, Vitei Menachem Lepul Elef Kikur Kesef, and he bribes him away, L'Atel L'Haksem Melechem Yadam. Where did he get the money to bribe him away? Verse 20. Of course, the king gives the money, and then what does he do? He turns around and taxes the people to pay for what he did. He taxed the warriors. He said, if you had to fight him in war, it would have cost you this much, so I did you a favor, and I bribed him from coming. So he required all of the warriors to give to the king of Asher, 50 shekels. 50 shekels a lot. I mean, we redeem a child for 5 shekels. So 50 silver coins is quite a bit in that time. And he didn't remain there. He bribed him to leave. Yes, Divrei Menachem. If you want to know more about Menachem, and his son is Pekach. His son's name is Pekach. A Pekeach in Hebrew means a wise one. Maybe they hoped he'd be a wise one. We don't really Pekeach or a. So Bishnaf Chamishim Shana Lezariah Melech Yehuda. This was during the 50th year of Azariah. Malach Pekachya ben Menachem al Yisrael, and he was king for 2 years. 24. V'yasarav bnei Hashem. He was another bad one. Lo sor mechatas Yerav ben Nevat. He went in that path of Yerav Masha Hikdash Yisrael. And it's not even that they were privately evil. They caused the people to do evil. That's the word that we keep hearing. As a leader, they caused the people to continue down that path. Like, we wonder what could have happened, you know, to the people, the Jewish people, that they deserved to be carted away, or that they went off the path. And this succession of evil kings, this is what happened. 25. So another guy named Pekah comes, Vishlishi, who was his one of his own men, the Akei with Shomer, and he assassinates the king of Shomer of Amrna Beis Melech, Es Arga Ves Arimel Chamishim Mishim Nei Giladim, and this one is from Gilad, and he kills him, Vayimlo Taktav, and he makes himself king in his place. Now, usually, if you're a king, you try to fix what the other king was doing wrong. The Yesed Divrei Hakafia, whatever you want to know about this king, the Kol Asher Asa, they're all written in the book of Divrei Hayamim, the Malki Yisrael. 27. So again, we're going through these last few kings very quickly in the ten tribes who were really assassins one after another. They weren't dynasties. They weren't really trying to fix the program or to accomplish much. And they just, we went down this slope towards destruction. 27. And this was in the 52nd year. Malach Pekah ben Ramiel al Yisrael. So he became king. This is Pekah the second. The other one was Pekachyo. This one is Pekah. And he's king in Shoram for 20 years. But Yasarav Enei Hashem. And he was another bad one. He did evil in God's eyes. Lo Sor, Minachatos Yeravim ben Nevada, Shehikdis Yisrael. He didn't turn away from the tradition of these kings that caused the Jewish people to go astray. Now, the previous king, just a short while earlier, the enemy came and they managed to buy them off. That was a temporary reprieve. That should have been a message to them, that if you don't behave, he's coming back. So sure enough, that's what happened. The May Pekach Melech Yisrael bought Tiglath Pileser. Now comes along Tiglath Pileser, Melech Asher. Now, by the way, they found the historical records of these. The anti-Semites wanted to discredit Judaism, and so they attacked the Jewish Bible, and so they made they actually taught like college courses in Germany. It was where they attacked the Jewish Bible, and they called it the science. They made fun of a lot of the figures in Tanakh. They said, "Oh, it was somebody's imagination," and this and that. And it's been totally discredited because archaeology, they found the records of these societies and these kings, and they've shown that they're accurate. So, like, they have, some of them are in the Israel Museum. You can see, like, that these kings existed, and there weren't a lot of... See, Israel was destroyed so many times that there weren't a lot. In other words, when Israel was razed to the ground and burnt down and famine, so they would wipe out the cities clean, and so there weren't a lot of records left in that society. There wasn't a lot, but they found from the neighboring countries, they found that the kings of Israel mentioned by name, and the names match the names of Tanakh, and the Gentile kings mentioned. And so you look today, and they say, well, one of the things that was interesting was they didn't like the book of Esther. They thought, oh, that there was a place called Shushan, and there was a king. Who heard of that? It wasn't in the capital city. And so the truth is, if they learned the Medrash explains that Achashverosh moved the capital to Shushan because he wanted it to where he was born. And he had, and so it wasn't the traditional seat of the monarchy. But they found the palace. They have the palace of Achashverosh. They dug there. They found it. And so it's just over time what if you read the kinds of, they were the ones that had said that there were a few Isaiahs, and the, you know, they had come up with the, Reform Judaism also allied themselves with them because, again, if the Bible wasn't true, so then it was not binding on them. And so, but it's been totally disproven. Like, there's nobody today who can open the textbooks that they had 100 years ago and say there's anything to it. It's just totally went wrong. There was a time when they called it, I'm trying to think of what they called the Bible critics or Bible
biblical scholarship
and
biblical criticism.
But today it's laughable because, like I said, the archaeology has just proven them wrong, and they've even found, you know, they would make a statement like this was probably written much later, and then they would find a copy of, you know, you have the Dead Sea Scrolls that was written 700 years before they said it could have been, you know, and it existed exactly as we have it, you know, you can go look at it. And so a lot of Rabbi Avigdor Miller, in one of his books, brings down a lot of these ideas that shows how they, because I guess when he was young, in the 1920s and 30s, it still hadn't been disproven. And so as they laid, now we look back 80 years later, and we, you know, it's just silly. None of the ideas were, it wasn't, I guess because they called it scientific, or it was a college course, people thought there was, but this king, Pekah ben Ramayo, they have records of him, they have records of the other kings, they have tablets in the neighboring countries, they have even the names of the Gentile kings, they said, you know, they questioned, they had the Tiglath-Pileser, they have him. So at any rate, the king of Asher, V'yikah k'tion, v'esavu, v'esma, v'esinua, v'eskadosh, v'eskhatzer, v'esagila, v'esaglila, kol eretz naphtali. So this is the first tribe that's really going into exile. And this should have taught everybody else, look what's going on over here. Like, if some of the people are going into exile for their sins, they should have had a big powwow, and they should have had a declared a fast day, and they should have changed their ways, and it should have, but they just didn't get the message. Like Hashem was hoping that he could wake the people up and get them to change, but it just didn't, and so he did it slowly. First, he put these... now these were the outlying areas, and in other words, they lived furthest from the heartland of the Jewish people, and they were the ones that were the most assimilated, and so therefore they went into Golis first. V'kol eretz naphtali v'yigal mashur, and they were sent into exile in the land of Asher, which in the Arab countries. V'yikser kesher Hoshea ben Ela, and so of course this king had to be gotten rid of. He was bad news. Hoshea ben Ela comes on Tekah ben Ramayo. And he assassinates him. And now we have a new king, Hoshea ben Yosam ben Uziyahu. And this was during the time of Yosam of the 10 tribes. Anything else you want to read? Yes, indeed. They're all written in the books of Malka Yisra. Yeah.
Was the cat
the
capital of Asher?
Yes.
And
Asher
was the capital of Assyria before
Assyria
was it became Shushan?
I think Damascus. And during that time when Pekah ben Ramo was king of Israel, now we're going to go back to the tribe of Yehuda. We'll talk a little bit about the last king of the 10 tribes, he was the one mentioned over here, Hoshea ben Ola, but we'll get back to him. It's interesting, in his time when the Gentiles came, they sacked the Jewish temple that had the golden calf, and so because they didn't have the golden calf, they used to have roadblocks so that people wouldn't travel to Yerushalayim. He removed the roadblocks, And so for the first time, they had the possibility that the 10 tribes would go back to the worship of Hashem. But unfortunately, by this time, nobody wanted to go. In other words, all those years, they needed the roadblocks because people wanted to, and by the time they removed them, people, they were no longer even necessary. The people didn't go. That's how far things had strayed.
Just to remind myself, it's referring to the sins of
Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeah.
Right. And so what were they specifically?
The golden calves. He had set up
and the roadblocks.
And the roadblocks, that's right. He started the people on the path towards idol worship.
So in the other kingdom, they were sacrificing on the high places or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say to the idols, right?
Manas are different.
It was like a private service kind of thing. Yeah. They also had some idol worship, and that's what led to the destruction of the tribe of Yehuda also. But it was not as bad as it was in the 10 tribes.
Assyria.
Mm-hmm. It's been the same territory. You know, it's been Jordan and Assyria and Egypt. It's always been the same enemy, same places. It hasn't changed. Now we get back to Yosem, the son of Uzziyahu, Melech Yehuda. He was 25 years old. He was king for 16 years in Yerushalayim. V'shem imo Yerusha bas Tzadok. His mother's name was Yerusha, the daughter of Tzadok. He was a good king. Kol Asher Asa, just like his father was good. Again, his father was the guy that got the leprosy, who you could have thought was the worst guy in the world. Apparently, again, it was a mistake that he made, and he atoned for it. He made a terrible mistake, and Hashem afflicted him, but that doesn't change his overall record as being a good king. Again, there are people that live their whole lives, and then they make some kind of mistake later on, and sometimes that mistake doesn't necessarily take away from the good that they did in all the other years. Because basically it says that he did good like his dad did good, even though his dad was, you know, a leper. Asher asu ziyo avivas. Raka bamos, he also, though, didn't get rid of the bamos. Odam izam mekatrin bamos hu bana es shar beis Hashem elyon. And one of the great things, he added an area called the Shar Beis Hashem. We didn't know exactly what that is. Sounds nice, though, the house of the Lord, the upper house. And he also, the records are written over there. Now, even as the 10 tribes had started their exile, with the tribe of Naphtali being sent into exile, also Hashem wanted the tribe of Yehuda. In other words, there was an overall direction that the Jewish people were going in, which as a people on our land, like today we ask ourselves, you know, wouldn't it be nice not to live in a Gentile country and not to have our own land and our own people and to have our own society and our own message. And we have to see that what happened was, when we had a Jewish land, things got corrupted, you know, with all these assassins and with the backyard idols and the it wasn't necessarily better. In other words, we are hoping to have a Mashiach come who will be able to lead us back to having our own country in a way that things are good. And we certainly like to think we started the process. You know, a lot of Jews did come back now to Israel. But the previous record was, even though we started off good and we had generations that were, you know, King David and King Solomon and other righteous kings, we didn't perform necessarily. It wasn't, as a people, things weren't as good as they could have been. And so sometimes why are the Jews dispersed? Do we perform better as a minority? Maybe we shine better amongst the Gentiles, or other people feel that it's in order to teach the Gentiles. This was all part of Hashem's plan, that the Jewish people be scattered all over the world to teach the world about Hashem. But all the words of Yosem, they're written in the book of Yirayim. The Yamim Heinatel Hashem LaHashlech Yehuda Ratzin Melech Aram. In those days, we started having trouble with the terrorists over there from Ratzin, the king of Aram, and Pekah ben Ramayahu. Now, what happens is that the Jews, until now, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes more or less got along. In fact, they were allies often. But in this time, the 10 tribes had sunk so low that they joined with the Gentiles to fight against Yehuda. They would send terrorist raids in. Yishkev Yosem Yavosev, and he lied down with his forefather, covering Yavosev, Yer David, David, Zayimach Achaz, Beno Tachtav. And then his son Achaz is going to reign underneath him. Okay. And we'll stop here at chapter 16. Some of the kings are going to be more familiar to us because this is the last, you know, generation or two before the destruction of the we're leading towards the end of the book, so to speak. So have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.